We often think about art programs, pretty narrowly, like
Yeah.
focusing just on making art, showing art.
Right, the creation of the exhibition.
Exactly. But imagine an arts initiative that's aiming much bigger,
Yeah.
trying to create real lasting change across the whole art sector.
Yeah.
That's kind of the fascinating idea behind Project 2024-5782. And honestly, the way they're doing it it's pretty surprising, very multifaceted.
It really is. And when you start to look at the documents, like their grant application, Our People, Our Climate 2025,
Okay.
and then you follow the updates on their websites, artsincubator.ca and Digital Salvage, you get this much clearer picture.
It's more than just
Oh,
shows.
absolutely. This isn't just about putting on an exhibition. It seems like a really deeply thought out project, nurturing talent through mentorship.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also pioneering new ways of doing things and maybe fundamentally reshaping how the arts work, especially it seems in northern indigenous communities.
Exactly. So if you're listening and you want to get the core of this project, it's, wider significance, but without getting lost in every single tiny detail.
Which can happen easily.
Right. That's what we're trying to do today. We're going to unpack the key bits of Project 2024-5782 and really highlight some of the unexpected parts, the potentially transformative
That is
stuff.
good.
Okay. So let's unpack this. What was the initial spark? Where did this whole thing start?
Well, it began with an application they sent to the Manitoba Arts Council. They have this program called Indigenous 360.
Ah, okay.
And the project title itself tells you a lot. Our People, Our Climate 2025, a Manitoba perspective on art, technology, and climate resilience.
Oh, wow, that's quite a title. It covers a lot of ground. Art, tech, climate.
It really signals the ambition right there, doesn't it? The interconnectedness. They applied for a small-scale grant, asking for $5,000.
5,000. Okay. And it wasn't just like painting or sculpture, was it? You mentioned the title covered a lot. Did the disciplines do?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The application listed multidisciplinary inter-arts and media arts as the main areas.
Okay.
But the specific genres they planned to explore, it was incredibly broad. Everything from audio art, experimental stuff, installations,
Right.
to narrative and video art, music, visual arts, literary arts, and even something they called youth participatory action research.
Youth participatory action research. That sounds significant. Like the young people aren't just participants, but researchers.
Exactly. It suggests a really active role. We should probably circle back to that, actually.
Yeah, let's do that. So this huge vision, all these different ways of making art, what was the plan? What was the timeline they laid out?
The proposal said they'd start October 27th, 2024,
So.
and initially finish by February 28th, 2025. Though it's worth noting other places suggest the whole thing runs a bit longer, maybe to April 30th, 2025.
Okay, so a concentrated period initially.
Yeah, and the main goals were about weaving together creative expression, tech, and community dialogue, and fostering inspiration, building connections.
Makes sense.
A really central piece was providing an internship within a youth artist-led setup, facilitating mentorship, collaboration with indigenous artists. That seemed key.
Mentorship and youth-led. Got it.
And of course, just planning and running the project, the workshops, bringing in AI, that was all part of it. Plus, building relationships in the wider art sector.
Okay, so a busy few months planned from late 2024 into spring 2025. Let's get into the specifics. What did they actually plan to do day to day or month to month? That grant application had a timeline of activities, right?
Yes, it did. So October 2024 was the launch. Getting local indigenous youth, artists, researchers together, introductory workshops, making connections, building that community feel.
Minting things off.
Then October into November was focused on creative workshops, dialogues too, using spoken word, music, multimedia storytelling, all centered on expressing climate experiences.
Using art for climate experiences, that's powerful. Giving voice to perspectives you might not always hear in, the mainstream climate chats.
Exactly. And then, as they moved towards the end of November, technology was slated to become more prominent.
Ah, the tech angle, VR and AR.
Precisely. The grant app specifically mentions exploring VR and AR tools, how they could enrich the narratives, create immersive environments. That was the late November goal.
Okay.
December and January were then about refining the artworks people had made, collaborative sessions, experienced artists guiding the youth, more mentorship.
Polishing the work.
Yeah. And by January 2025, the plan was to start building a hybrid exhibition, part physical installation, part virtual gallery online.
A foot in both worlds.
Right. And February was final prep for public showings leading up to a, quote, vibrant event. with that initial completion date set for the end of February.
That is a packed schedule. Very ambitious. But the big question, did they actually do it? Looking at their websites, artsincubator.ca, Digital Salvage, what's the evidence these things happened?
Well, we see quite a bit of evidence that lines up. For instance, artsincubator.ca talks about mentorship meetings focused on leadership through action. That maps directly to the mentorship goal.
Okay, so follow through on mentorship.
And on Digital Salvage, there are posts about artists exploring AI, specifically for creating and showing virtual art galleries. That hits the tech integration piece they proposed.
And it sounds like they weren't just, you know, downloading an app and playing with it. Were they really getting into the nuts and bolts of the tech?
It seems so.
Yeah.
They documented developing custom digital tools for WordPress, which they use, tools specifically for curating exhibitions online, generating images, managing project data.
Building their own tools. That's significant.
It is. And we also see them experimenting with AI-driven environmental simulations. Think of it like using AI to create dynamic backgrounds or interactive bits inside the virtual galleries, making it feel more alive.
Right, not just a flat web page with pictures.
Exactly. They also looked into VR for storytelling, combining it with data analysis somehow to create richer narratives.
AI simulations, VR with data. That sounds really cutting edge for an arts project, especially one with this community focus.
What's really interesting is how proactive they are. They're not just using tech. They're actively figuring out its artistic potential, its practical uses. They talk about integrating AI for storytelling in virtual spaces using OpenAI's API that's like the connector between software and text-to-speech to, you know, make the stories talk.
Making the art speak, literally.
Kind of. And they even coined this term vibe coding, which seems to be about blending coding, the technical stuff, with emotional resonance in art, using AI tools to help.
Vibe coding. I like that. It captures that blend, doesn't it?
It really does. And they got technical, too, learning audio visualizers with things like GPT-4 Turbo, that's a powerful AI model, and JavaScript programming.
Wow. So deep into the tech side. But you also mentioned something more basic, like building easels.
Yeah, exactly. Amidst all this high-tech stuff, there's documentation of winter workshops where they learned to build their own physical easels.
Huh. That's great. So it's not just screens and code.
Right. It kind of underscores this grounded, hands-on element that exists right alongside the digital innovation. Yep. Like, fundamental skills still matter.
Okay, now mentorship. You said that was a key piece. The grant application really highlighted Jamie Bell. Tell us more about his role and the collaboration aspect generally.
Yeah, Jamie Bell. He's listed as the primary mentor, an interdisciplinary artist, loads of experience in Indigenous storytelling, community engagement.
Okay.
And significantly, he co-founded the Arviat Film Society and Arviat TV. So he has this long history with community-based media. That's important context.
And he'd worked with them before, right? This wasn't the first time.
Correct. The grant app mentions his previous mentorship on related projects like Our People, Our Climate from 2022 and Carving Our Climate Testimony, also 2022. So there's continuity there.
A pre-existing relationship.
Seems like it. Plus, the project planned to leverage partnerships with ArcticNet and the University of Manitoba, tapping into research networks, academic expertise.
So building a network of support right from the start. Did other collaborations pop up later?
Yes. The project updates show collaborations with MCAD. That's the Minneapolis College of Art and Design, and also Global Dignity Canada.
Okay, broadening the network.
Yeah, they mentioned engaging with specific people. Olaf Kolke and Kami Norlin from MCAD, Angela Gorin from Global Dignity. And they also seem to draw from the work of someone named Bruno, linked to the University of Manitoba and the UNESCO chair in community-based research.
So tapping into participatory research methods, too.
It suggests that, yeah, a really diverse network, artists, academics, international groups, that interconnectedness feels vital for what they were trying to do.
Okay, so we've talked planning, activities, collaborations. What about the results, the impacts? I know the project's technically still running, but are there early signs of what's come out of all this effort?
Definitely seeing signs. One clear thing is youth participants developing digital literacy skills, creative entrepreneurship skills. That was a core goal, right?
Right, the capacity building.
And there's this empowering angle for artists learning to use AI to automate admin tasks. Digital Salvage talks about this. Imagine, you know, if AI could handle some of the grant writing admin or scheduling, freeing up artist time.
That could be huge for artists who often wear so many hats. Bookkeeper, marketer, grant writer.
Exactly. huge. Plus, they're actively rethinking virtual galleries, not just static online pages, but interactive, inclusive spaces. That idea keeps coming up in their posts.
Making online art more engaging.
Yeah. And maybe most fundamentally, the project seems to be building capacity in the art sector, especially for Indigenous youth in Manitoba.
That feels really important for the long term, fostering the next generation.
It is. We're also seeing them develop new ways to blend arts and tech, like we discussed with VR and AR. And one really striking example of impact, they had a flood.
A flood? Oh, wow.
Yeah, damaged their main research and art space. But they actually used AI to help generate new policies and procedures afterwards.
Using AI for disaster recovery in an arts org? That's unexpected and kind of brilliant.
Isn't it? It shows real adaptability, using tech for practical problem solving. They also used AI to analyze arts funding gaps in the far north of Ontario.
So using tech to look at systemic issues, too.
Seems like it. Tackling inequity. And maybe one of the most concrete signs of impact, they hit their website traffic goals. 100,000 visitors, 1 million impressions.
100,000 visitors. That's significant engagement. Shows people are interested.
It really suggests they're connecting with the community, yeah.
So, okay, it's clear this isn't just about individual artists making stuff. It feels bigger. They talk about it as strategic arts sector innovation. What does that actually look like? What are they doing strategically?
Well, part of it is challenging those old divides, you know, like coding is separate from art. They're pushing digital literacy in the arts.
Breaking down silos.
Exactly. And their focus on digital return systems. Think of those as ways for rural and remote communities to share their stories, their art globally, but also ensuring value flows back to the communities.
Digital return. So it's not just extraction, it's a two-way street.
That seems to be the idea. They're also looking at different funding models, like mutual aid, community support, moving beyond just relying on grants.
Alternative economics for the arts. Interesting.
And digital salvage? It started looking like maybe just a chatbot, but it's evolving into this integrated support engine for the organization, helping with policy, grants, workflow.
So digital salvage is becoming like an AI assistant for running the arts organization.
Kind of an AI backbone, yeah. And remember that Youth Participatory Action Research, YPAR.
Yes.
They're explicitly framing their work that way, empowering youth as co-researchers, collaborators, not just subjects.
Giving youth real agency.
Right. And there's a real critical lens on data and AI itself, prioritizing community logic, resisting just counting things. And underlying it all is this commitment to relational repair, to sticking with communities beyond just the project end date.
This sounds incredibly thoughtful, systemic, aiming for sustainable change, not just quick wins. And it feels like they're building their own organizational muscle, too.
Absolutely. The fact they rebuilt their infrastructure using AI after the flood, that's huge institutional development right there.
Resilience in action.
And developing their own custom digital tools that builds a sustainable digital ecosystem for them. Their focus on leadership pipelines for youth through the mentorship and internships, that's building future capacity.
Right.
And this idea of a living archive, using AI to tell the story of their research journey, that's about sharing knowledge, learning continuously.
A living archive. AI telling the story of the project itself. Fascinating. Okay, so pulling it all together, the project's still running until April 2025, but how would you size it up so far? Success. Impact.
Well, obviously, the final verdict waits till it's done. But honestly, the signs so far are overwhelmingly positive. Just the sheer amount of activity, the innovation and the tools and methods they're developing, hitting those big website engagement numbers, it all suggests they're on track, maybe even exceeding what they set out to do. And their focus, capacity building, digital skills, empowering voices, especially Indigenous youth in the North, it feels so aligned with their values and with real needs in the art sector. The resilience after the flood, using tech to adapt. That shows serious strategic thinking. And using AI not just for art, but for organizational development, for looking at funding equity, that points to a potentially transformative impact, way beyond just one project.
So yeah, wrapping this up, Project 2024-5782 is clearly, it's operating on a different level than your average arts program, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's strategically using tech, AI especially, in these really novel ways, not just to make art, but for mentorship, community engagement, tackling bigger systemic challenges in the arts.
Precisely. It's pretty remarkable how they're blending art and tech, not just for creativity, but for building organizational resilience, real strategic innovation. It feels like a model others could potentially look at.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
About how technology, when you combine it thoughtfully with community focus, with mentorship, how it could really shake things up in the arts, empower voices we don't always hear, leaves you wondering about the ripple effects, you know? What could this mean for innovation elsewhere? And yeah, if you want to learn more, dig deeper into Project 2024-5782.
You definitely should.
Check out their websites, artsincubator.ca and the Digital Salvage site. There's a lot more detail and insight there.